While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. From Luke chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 5 through 25. The word of the living God. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained silent. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words, that you speak to us, and that you speak clearly. Now we ask that by your Holy Spirit you bore out our ears, so that we may hear your voice, hear your word, and give us hearts ready to receive and to obey. We pray this for the honor of your name, and so that we will bear your name honorably. And we pray this through Jesus our Lord, the Word made flesh. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, here we are in the season of Advent, the third Sunday of Advent. And just to be clear, Advent is distinct from Christmas. We have the Advent season, which begins the church year. Advent is made up of the 4 Sundays prior to Christmas. 4 Sundays prior to Christmas, that's the season of Advent. And then we enter into the season of the Nativity, or the Christmas season, beginning on Christmas and ending on Epiphany, and that makes up the 12 days of Christmas. The season of Advent is a time of anticipation. It's a time of preparation, or we could even say it's a time of expectation. There had been years of waiting and expectation for the people of God, waiting for the promised one to come, waiting for the promised Messiah. As a matter of fact, in the Advent stories of the Gospels, we even find it's not just expectation, we find 2 women who are expecting children. Expectation marks Advent. The first Advent, we know this, was accompanied by singing. The first Advent of Jesus was accompanied by singing. If you were to look in Luke's gospel, you would find four songs that go along with the Advent story. The first song is the song of Mary, commonly called Mary's Magnificat. The second song is the song of Zacharias. The third song would be the song of the angels to the shepherds. And the fourth song of these four songs of Advent happens to be the song of Simeon. There are four songs that go along with the first Advent. This ought not to surprise us, because as at creation, so also at new creation. As at the beginning, so also at the new beginning. There was singing at the first creation. The book of Job tells us that the morning stars, the angels, sang at creation. Wow. So now here, when the new creation occurs, or when the Creator Himself is being brought forth, we should expect singing. In anticipation now of the expectation of the Messiah, they're singing. You could say, we could say that these four songs are the soundtrack of the first Advent. Okay? Now, of these four songs, for the next week or two, maybe 3 weeks, we'll take a look. We'll focus on one of these songs. We're going to focus on the song of Zacharias, the second of the four songs. Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, the father of John the Baptist. Zacharias, if you were to take a look later on in Luke chapter 1, you'll find that he's going to sing later. He's going to sing later. Verses 68 through 79 of Luke 1 is the song of Zacharias. Zacharias is not going to sing for a while. He won't be singing or saying anything for about 9 months and 8 days. He will be made mute. Silence will mark his life during Elizabeth's pregnancy. Zacharias will be silent before he sings. This is a wonderful story. An aged man will sing, when we take a look at his song, he will sing of the ancient promises. His first words, once his tongue is loosed, once he regains his speech, will be a song. His silence will be broken by singing. Let's take a look at what led to his song. Let's take a look at what led to his silence. Let's take a look at our passage today. Our passage is found in Luke 1, 5 through 25. And even as there is in the title of this sermon and in this introduction, a contrast between silence and singing, we know the contrast. Shh. And then we'll start singing. There are also many other contrasts right at the beginning of this passage. The most glaring contrast is between the house of Herod and the house of Zacharias. Verse 5. Herod is king. This is the days of Herod, king of Judea. Herod is king. Zacharias is a priest. As a matter of fact, his wife, Elizabeth, is from the priestly line as well. She comes from a priestly family. Herod is the king who will give the wicked order to kill little boys. Zacharias serves in the priestly order of Abiyah. Herod is all about the division of life from the living. Zacharias is of the priestly division, dedicated to serving the Lord of life. Verse 6, Zacharias and Elizabeth are both righteous, and we know that Herod is a wicked, maniacal tyrant. Verse 7, Zacharias and Elizabeth are childless, and they had wanted children. Herod makes other people childless. He removes children. Zacharias and Elizabeth are both well advanced in years. They are aged. And Herod despises the young. He despises the least of these. In verses 8, 9, and 10, we find something about the custom of the priesthood. According to the custom of the priesthood, it became Zacharias' turn, by way of lot, to burn incense in the temple. Zacharias might have waited his entire ministerial life for this privilege. We don't know. So, back in the days of King David, 1 Chronicles 24, David had divided the priesthood into 24 divisions. And they would each take turns, according to their division, to serve at the temple in Jerusalem. The division of which Zacharias was a part, lot was drawn, they get to go. And of those priests, lots were drawn, and Zacharias had the privilege of offering incense at the hour of incense. Incense. If you were to read in Exodus chapter 30, you would know that this incense was made of a very distinctive recipe. You could not replicate it anywhere else. You could not say, I would like the scents of the temple in my home. It was a distinctive recipe used only in the temple. It wasn't just a distinctive recipe. This was a distinctive privilege for a priest to be able to go in and do this. The temple was supposed to be known as a house of prayer. We know this. And we also know that incense represented the prayers of the people. From Psalm 141, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Incense represented the prayers of the people. And appropriately in our passage today, the gathered people were outside in the courtyard praying. Zacharias had gone in to offer the incense, to represent the prayers of the people, and the people were outside praying. Zacharias, in our passage, is inside the holy place, inside the temple where others were not allowed to go. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even peer in to see what was going on. For them, it was sightless, and they might have heard a few sounds. Zacharias is going about the offering of the incense. In verse 11, an angel, a messenger, a speaker, a word giver appears to Zacharias on the right side of the altar of incense. And verse 12, Zacharias responds appropriately. Zacharias sees this angel and he was troubled. He was shaking. He was trembling. Fear falls upon him. Literally, it's as if something falls off a shelf. Fear was up there and falls down on Zacharias. And he is beginning to get silent. He doesn't say anything now. He's just trembling. Verse 13. The angel speaks to him. Do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your prayer is heard. You've been praying for these years. Your prayer is heard. Your wife's prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're going to call his name John. Something new is going on. A boy will be given to an elderly and barren couple. A barren woman will bear a son. This is like what happened to Abraham and Sarah. This is like what happened to Ruth and Naomi. A son was given. This is thunderous and wondrous news. This is enough to make an old man go silent for a while. Verse 14, the angel continues, and you will have joy and gladness, and many others too. Many others will rejoice in his birth. Why? What's going on? There's something distinctive here. Whenever a child is given to a barren woman, whenever a child is given to an elderly couple, something new is going on. The Lord is acting. What kind of a child will this be? What kind of a son will this be? He will be quite the son. The angel continues, verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. He'll be a Nazarite. According to the book of Numbers, he's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be one set apart in a distinctive way for the work of the Lord. He's not to drink alcoholic spirits, because the Nazarites, whether they were temporary Nazarites for a period of time or lifetime Nazarites, they were to stay away from the spirits of liquor. However, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. As with covenant children, this is what we expect. For we know that the Holy Spirit works upon children while yet in the womb. John would not know a faithless day. This is why we pray the way we do. This is why we receive children the way we do. For this is expected. The Lord was active in John's life while John was in the womb. And by the way, this also reminds us of other sons given to barren women. Nazarite son Samuel given to his mother. Samson given to his mother. Sons given to barren women. Verse 16, the angel continues to explain, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. This child, this son, this one, this promised one will be involved in turnings and conversions and changes. But there's more. Verse 17, this son, I'm telling you, Zacharias, your son will be the Elijah who was promised to come. The angel refers to the last chapter of Malachi. And he said, he will go before him. He's a predecessor. He's a forerunner. He's the one to come first. He will go before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah. And what will he do? He will start with the daddies. Daddies, it doesn't start with the sons or the daughters. It starts with the daddies. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then the hearts of the children to the fathers. So often we get that backwards. We're going, what's wrong with you? No. The work of the Spirit of the Lord through the one who's always pointing to Jesus will start with the daddy, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then the hearts of the children will turn toward the daddies. He will also turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And he will be, with preparation, anticipation, and expectation, be making ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel picks up on the last promise of the Old Testament, a promise about a forerunner. After that promise, the scriptures went silent. Years of silence from Malachi to the New Testament. 400 years means something in the Bible. And when Zechariah starts singing, I'm starting to get it. But there's silence before singing. The angel has been speaking from verses 13 through 17. The angel, the messenger, has been delivering the message. The word giver has been giving words. In verse 18, Zacharias asks, he says to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And here's the angel's answer. I am Gabriel. Priest, minister, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to give you this message, to speak these words, to speak to you and to give you these glad tidings. Gabriel has not made an appearance in history, in the scriptures, for 500 years. So now we know this angel is Gabriel, and Gabriel now says in verse 20, you, Zacharias, will be made silent. Take note, behold, you will be mute and not able to speak. Confirmation. Mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. This all took a while. Verse 21, we find out. The people were waiting outside. How long does it take to present the incense? We've been out here praying. How long is this going to take? They didn't know what was going on inside. They didn't know that there was a messenger and a now muted priest. They didn't know that an angel appeared to this aged man. They did not know that one who had been silent and had not made an appearance for 500 years has now made an appearance, and an old man is made silent. Verse 22, when he did come out, he could not speak to them. And we can imagine what this was like. They knew something had happened in there. The Bible says he made motions, but he remained silent. Verses 23 and 24, the time came for his priestly service to end, and the time came for Elizabeth's pregnancy to begin, an ending and a beginning. And he went home. He's with his wife, and Elizabeth conceives. At some point, obviously, he informed Elizabeth of what had happened and what was going on, likely with a writing tablet. We're going to find later on that Zacharias used a writing tablet to share the name of his son. His name shall be John. Elizabeth goes into seclusion. She hides herself for 5 months, according to verse 24. This is likely for the entire time of her pregnancy. It's possible that she waited for the first trimester. Am I really pregnant? Are we really expecting? And then she wanted to give it another month for good measure. We're not going to make an announcement. We're not going to stand up in the synagogue, and we're not going to say, we're going to wait for the first trimester and probably another month, and then 5 months she hid herself. Is it possible? I know my frame. I'm an old woman. I can't believe that I will be carrying this child. I'm going to go in silent seclusion. What about the priest? A priest is what? He's, other than when his lot is drawn according to his division to go serve in Jerusalem, he's also the local minister. He's also the local pastor where they lived. What do local ministers do? They teach and they preach and they counsel. He can't speak. So what's he going to do? He's got this silence upon him. So what does he do? He prays more. Ponders more, meditates more, studies the scriptures more, maybe even writes. Maybe he writes a song. What does Elizabeth do or say? She can speak. And this is her summary. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people. Baby. I'm expectant. And our Lord in his kindness gives us this story of expectation during the expectation of Advent, because we're looking forward to another one. Zacharias will be silent for over 9 months. Imagine your local minister being silent for over 9 months. And we know that he will break this silence with a song, just like the Lord breaks the silence of Advent with four songs. There are wonderful previews here. An unexpected son was given. An unexpected son is given in an unexpected way to those well advanced in years. And this son is given in order to fulfill scriptures. Now, this passage is filled with silences as well. The silence will not simply be broken by a son. This silence will be broken by a song. And I mentioned to the congregation in the email, there are a number of silences. How many silences can you find in this passage? Because the Lord is once again writing and revealing and displaying what he is doing. He is going to break the silence with a son. He's going to break the silence of years with a son, and he's demonstrating that right before our eyes and in the lives and on the tablets of the hearts of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Have you noticed the silences in this passage? I would like to share with you some of them. And with this, we'll conclude. The home of Zacharias and Elizabeth for years had been silent to the sounds of children. Zacharias and Elizabeth, their home, did not have the pitter-patter of little feet, the sounds of things breaking from the counter, the sounds of cries and coos and questions. The home of Zacharias and Elizabeth, this faithful minister, a childless, faithful minister, and his blameless wife, they didn't have any children. And this wasn't because of sin, for the scripture says they were blameless. They were a righteous couple. But their home didn't have the sounds that they wanted. That's the first silence that's evident. The next silence is the silence of heaven. Heaven had been silent to their prayers. Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for years. We know this because the angel, upon his appearance, says, "Your prayers have been heard." Were Zacharias and Elizabeth in their well-advanced years still praying for a child? Or had their prayers changed? Had they reoriented their prayers as they received God's providence? But it was evident that heaven had been silent to their prayers, to their desires over the years. Well, no longer. Heaven now speaks in this way. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." The third silence. Gabriel shows up and delivers a message. The angel Gabriel shows up and delivers a message after having been silent for 500 years. The last time Gabriel made an appearance in Scripture was all the way back in Daniel chapter 8, when Gabriel explained, "This is what's going to happen, and then this nation, and then this nation. I'm going to give you a roadmap as to what's to come." Gabriel hasn't spoken or shown up for 500 years, and now Gabriel shows up and says, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to look like this, and then this, and then this." The fourth silence in our passage is the silence of Zacharias, the aged priest, waiting for God to do what was promised. And the fifth and final silence that I can see in this passage is this. The Lord had been silent from the close of the Old Testament to this present moment. The Old Testament ended But the promise of the Elijah type who was to come, the Elijah type who was to arrive, the Elijah type who was to precede the great and terrible day of the Lord. After that prophetic voice had been given at the end of Malachi, that final prophecy, the voice of the prophets went mute. Silent. That time frame is revealing because the time of that silence to the breaking of the silence was 400 years. And that is telling us what's going on. So here's a preview for what we shall find in Zacharias' song. 400 years, the Lord had been silent, and now the Lord breaks the silence and he speaks through Gabriel. And the scriptures come to life. 400 years is telling. That ought to jar our memories. That ought to make us think about something, because there was another time in the Bible where there was a 400-year silence, a 400-year waiting upon the Lord, a 400-year, what is going on? Will the Lord answer our prayers? Will he visit his people? I'm going to tell you where that is. It's with the Exodus. Stephen, prior to being martyred, shared a scriptural history. He told our history. He told our story. And this is what Stephen, part of what Stephen had to say. Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham, that elderly man and his barren wife, waiting for a son. Spoke to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And this is what the Lord said to him. Get out of your country and go from your relatives and go to a land that I will show you. Go. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldees and he dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. This is what Stephen is explaining. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. For God spoke in this way, so that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them for 400 years. The promise to Abraham, you're going to have a son, and I'm going to give you this land, but you're also going to go into exile. It's an exile from which you're going to need an exodus. And that exile, awaiting exodus, will be 400 years. An exodus is getting ready to begin. The preview of the silence of Zacharias, the prelude to his song, is actually a silence. A thunderous, weighty silence that says an exodus is coming. It is no wonder then that Zacharias broke that silence with a song, because we know our biblical story well, that after the Lord delivered his people with that exodus, singing broke the silence. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw a great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord, and they spoke this way: I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. And once that song was finished, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and a whole group of women joined her with their beautiful voices, and they sang by way of answer: sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Silence before singing. And our Lord is telling us his story. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.